Hey, good evening, everybody. Lord bless you. Welcome tonight to our Wednesday night Bible study, and I hope you've had a good day today, and hope you're well today. It's been a wonderful day. It's been an interesting day. Lots been going on, and excited about what God's going to do tonight for us here in our service. But we just welcome you here tonight, and hope that you'll join on with us here this evening. I don't need two of us talking at the same time, right? But Lord bless you. Just tried to see who's on. Hey, Sandra, Charlotte, see you watching tonight. Lord bless you guys. Jeanette, Don, Lord bless you. Thank you for the happy birthday wish. Amen. It is my birthday today. That's why it's been kind of exhausting. I'm a year older. How about that? Think about it. Actually, I don't turn a year older till 7/19. So it's got just a few more minutes. My brother and I will be reaching another year of God's blessing. And it is a blessing to think that God has given us time to live on this earth and worship and serve Him. And I'm just looking for many, many more years to do that. I just get overwhelmed sometimes when I think about the goodness of God. Isn't God so good? And I think if we'll all just take a moment tonight, we could probably just reflect on the goodness and the mercies of God for just allowing us just the opportunity to breathe and live and move and have our being for Him. But thank you, church, for your love and your patience with me. And I just bless you tonight. And I know God's got some good things for us tonight as we get into part six of Conversations with Jesus here in just a few minutes. Just giving a few more people time to log in. Mom, good to see you tonight. Lord bless you as well. For being here with us. Amen. Amen. Well, if you have a prayer request, definitely feel free to let me know that there's a need. Love to pray with you about that as we get started here in just a minute. You don't have to be specific. Just say, I have a prayer request. Or if you want to say a name, that's up to you, but I don't ask you to do that. But we're going to take a moment here and pray over our service tonight and pray over the people before we get started. Hey, don't forget, time changes this Saturday night, so be sure and set your clocks ahead 1 hour as we spring forward. Days will be a little longer. I like that. I like sunlight longer in the daytime. Already feels like spring. Trees are blooming. Flowers are blooming. Grass is growing. It's been really crazy, hasn't it? But don't forget to set your clocks back, move them forward, I should say, 1 hour, or you'll be an hour late for church. Anyway, we don't want you to do that. We want you to be here on time. But if you are an hour late, that's okay. You can come to our Spanish service. We start at 10:30, and our Spanish service starts at 12:30. So, hey, Mom, thanks for the birthday wish. Lord bless you guys. Amen. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight, and we're going to pray, ask God to be with us as we get started in our teaching tonight. Father, thank you tonight for this evening. You've given us, Lord, just to worship you, Lord. We honor you. We just thank you for all that you are doing in and through our lives. Thank you for what you're doing in our church. In our nation, Father, in Israel, we just know that, God, the whole world is yours, Lord. The heavens is your throne. The earth is your footstool. God, you are the author and finisher of our faith. You are the King of kings and Lord of lords. You're the captain of the host. You're the great I am. And, Lord, we just give all things to you tonight because we know that you have created all things for your pleasure. And we just pray that tonight you'd be pleased with us as we come and just teach your word and learn about you. Lord, in this service tonight. So bless it, Lord. Touch every need, Lord, whatever they are, who they are, whatever need they're going through spiritually, physically, emotionally, financially. Lord, just touch your people tonight and just bring healing. Father, I know there are some that are facing surgeries for Joanne that has that tumor that's being removed. We just pray for that. For Steve that has some skin cancers removed. For Mark, Lord, that's in need as well. Becky's sons, we just pray for these tonight. And just bless your people, some that are traveling out of town. We pray for their safety. And Lord, we just give you thanks for Don Jr. We just pray for him tonight as well. Lord, touch him and those that are going on mission trips. Lord, we just bless you and we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Lord bless you guys. Well, God is good all the time, right? And all the time, God is so good. Well, let's get started tonight in our teaching. We're going to look a little bit, like I said again tonight, at Conversations with Jesus. And if you have the church out, you can go to the notes section of that, and you can pull up the notes for this teaching tonight. If you'd like to follow along with us, definitely feel free to do that. We're trying to make those available to you as much as we can, and then we also try to post our teachings and our services, sermons online on our website at vlcag.com. www.thebridgeofhope.org if you want to give. I know Wednesdays are a little different since we're online, but if you like to give to the church or you like to pay your tithes, if you're a member of the church or give an offering or bless missions or a building fund, you can do that at vlcag.org, and you can click on the give button there. Or you can, if you have the church app, you can give off of that as well. So thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for giving. Pray for my wife as well. Didn't mention her a while ago, but she has strep throat, and just pray for a quick healing for her. We're supposed to head to Arizona to be with our children and our grandbaby. They're going to dedicate him Sunday week, and so we want to be well for that. So pray for healing and protection for all of those things. Amen. One writer said that conversations with Jesus will change you. Isn't that powerful? Conversations with Jesus will change you. I'm so thankful that when Jesus speaks a word, it does something. It has power and it's effective. You know, the scripture says the effectual fervent prayers of a righteous man, one translation says, are powerful and effective. Well, can I tell you that the words of Jesus are powerful and effective? And when God speaks a word, it will change you. Another writer said, conversations with Jesus give you comfort in the unknown. And those aren't on the screen today. Those are some extra little quotes that I threw in there for you this evening. But conversations with Jesus give you comfort in the unknown. Aren't you glad that when we don't know what's going on, God does? You know, there's a lot of unknowns. You know, we're fixing to have another solar eclipse on April the 8th. That's the totality line is actually going to come right through Texas, Kaufman County. You know, I've heard a lot of people are already booked hotels to be in the Kaufman County area just so they can get a picture of this full totality experience of this eclipse that is happening on April the 8th. But, you know, a lot of people just see that as a lot of unknowns. I know when we look at the heavens sometimes, you know, the stars, the moon, the rotation of the planets, there's just, I know science has a lot of known things, but there's still the unknown sometimes about what's going on in the heavens. And, you know, sometimes Jesus works on those calendars, and, you know, those things that he allows to happen are for a reason sometimes. So it's just always interesting to see what God's up to in this moment and in this time. But when we are serving the Lord, and when we're having conversations with him, and when we're listening to his voice and following him, and, you know, because his sheep know his voice, right? And they will follow the voice of the shepherd. And when we have these conversations, you know, we can have comfort even when we don't know what's going on. Even with our nation right now, there's a lot of unknown factors. I hope you did get out. I know this is a little late, but I hope you did get out and vote yesterday, and just because it is a privilege that you have as an American citizen and also a ride. And a lot of people say, well, my vote's not going to make a difference. Yeah, but you know what? Your vote can make a difference. And, you know, as just a responsibility to vote, it should give you just the joy of knowing that you were able to give your opinion in a sense. And maybe just that one ballot, but you know, there's some bigger ballots coming up in November. So definitely we need to be praying for our nation, praying for the direction of our nation, praying for righteousness. Come on, somebody put in there in the columns that I'm praying for righteousness. If you can spell that big word, that's a big word, I know. But I'm praying for righteousness for our nation. I believe God hears the prayers of his people. And I just think we ought to come into agreement with that. But let's look tonight for just a few minutes at conversations with Jesus. You know, Jesus was a master communicator, wasn't he? A master conversationist. And I'm so thankful that when Jesus speaks, you know, it's with purpose. It's with identity. You know, there's something that he's wanting to say, something he's wanting you to identify with. Anytime Jesus spoke words on this earth, even now as he speaks to us, there's a reason why he says what he has to say. And we just need to hang on to that and hear what he is saying. Dan Flynn, in an article titled "The Great Communicator, Jesus and His Method of Speaking," he said, "I think it's beyond debate that the greatest communicator of all times was Jesus. His words and their power have arguably made more impact on more people than any other speaker in history. And it all happened before the internet." Isn't that amazing, friends? Jesus didn't have the internet. He didn't have social media. He didn't have a cell phone. You know, he didn't have a tape recorder. But when he spoke, friends, it resonated through the earth, and it resonated in the people's hearts and lives. And God's word still resonates with us today, and it still speaks life to us because it's a living word. Dan Flynn in this article said that Dallas Willard, in his book, The Divine Conspiracy, says, waxes wise. He says that divine conspiracy waxes wise as he unpacks the secret to Jesus' teaching methodology. He said, I summarize Wooler's words this way, that Jesus uses every teaching moment to mess with your life in an unforgettable way. I like that. Can I say that again? Jesus uses every teaching moment to mess with your life in an unforgettable way. You know, friends, Jesus has a way of messing up your life. Not in a wrong way or a negative way, but in a positive way, in a good way. You know, when God messes with you, there's something beautiful that comes out of it, and there's something unforgettable. He says you'll never need to refer back to handwritten notes. In other words, his words will ring in your ears forever. Friends, when Jesus speaks, there's just this lasting sound of the joy that God spoke to me, and I heard it, and it resonates with me, and I can hang on to that word that God has given me. Flynn goes on to say that in Wooler's book that he describes it as the aim of the popular teacher in Jesus' time. It was not to impart information, but in Jesus' time, the teacher was to make a significant change in the lives of the hearers. I really believe Jesus gave information, but really what he wanted most of all was what? He wanted a changed life in the ones of those that were listening. You see, it is said that in the teacher in Jesus' time taught in such a way that he would impact the life flow of the hearer, leaving a lasting impression. Whatever did not make a difference in that way just made no difference. But I can tell you, friends, that everything Jesus said made a difference because he said it with purpose, right? He said it with power and authority. And he said it because he knew what the hearer needed at that moment. You know, we remember what makes a real difference in our life, don't we? And the secret of a great teacher is to speak words, to foster experiences that impact the active flow of the hearer's life. And that's exactly what Jesus did. Jesus spoke words that make a difference. He spoke words that what? Foster experiences in us, amen, that affected the flow of our life as a hearer and of those that he spoke into. That's what Jesus did. And when Jesus spoke, friends, amen, you remembered what he said because it was impacting somebody's life. And that made, you know, that made a lot of people happy. That brought a lot of joy to those lives that was being impacted by what he said. But then it also brought a lot of anger and resentment from those that criticized and ridiculed him and didn't like who he was and who he stood for and what he claimed, who he claimed to be. I want to take you back for just a few minutes this evening to Luke chapter 2, kind of in the early part of Jesus' life, not his birth, not his maybe two-year-old experience with the wise men, but I want to take you back to that experience at the age of 12 where Mary and Joseph lost Jesus in Jerusalem as they had come for the Passover celebration. I think back of Michael Jr., he comedian, talks about the story of Mary and Joseph losing Jesus and about having to pray to the Father. It's like, oh, Father, you know that Messiah you gave us? Do you got another one? We done lost this one. Well, how do you lose the Messiah? You didn't. He was busy, wasn't he? He was busy taking care of his father's business. But, you know, they didn't fully grasp all of that, although they knew who he was. But let's look at that scripture, if you want to follow with me. Luke chapter 2, verses 41 through 52. Let's begin there. Verse 41 of Luke chapter 2. This is the New Living Translation. It says, every year Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the Passover celebration. And when Jesus was 12 years old, they attended the festival as usual. After the celebration was over, they started home to Nazareth. But Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents didn't miss him at first. That's kind of a, you know, well, was his parents aware of that he wasn't with them? How do you miss your child? Was it one of those stay-at-home moments, stay-alone moments? I don't know. Was Jesus being disobedient? I don't think so. But read it further. Because they assumed, well, see, here's the answer, maybe. Because they assumed he was among the other travelers, or some say maybe with his relatives. But when he didn't show up that evening, they started looking for him. And when they couldn't find him, they went back to Jerusalem to search for him there. And it says 3 days later, they finally discovered him in the temple, sitting among the religious teachers, listening to them and asking questions. Let's read a little further tonight. All who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. His parents didn't know what to think. Son, his mother said to him, why have you done this to us? Your father and I have been frantic, searching for you everywhere. But why did you need to search, he asked. Didn't you know that I must be in my father's house? But they didn't understand what he meant. Scripture goes on to say that then he returned to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. And his mother stored all these things in her heart. And the Bible says that Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and with all the people. You know, it is said that in the law of Moses, that the law of Moses required the attendance of all males to be present at the three feasts of Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles. The dispersion of the Jews had, of course, kind of relaxed the obligation for those who lived at a distance, but it was still more or less generally recognized by those who dwelt in Palestine, and the school of Hillel held that the Passover was to be binding not only on the men, but on the women as well. So this yearly journey to Jerusalem may therefore be taken as an indication of their devout obedience to God and to the law. So this was a customary trip that the male specifically was supposed to make three times a year to Jerusalem to offer their sacrifices. And it was a pilgrimage and it was a feast time. And usually there were large groups that attended this feast, especially coming from distant places. So it would not be difficult to maybe lose track of a young boy with such a large group of travelers. So as one writer says, we shouldn't necessarily accuse Joseph and Mary of child neglect. but you would think that they would be aware. But, you know, times were different. Culture was different for sure. So we have to understand it in that setting and of what was going on during that time period. But they had misplaced. they had somehow lost Jesus in the process. I remember one time we were in the mall in Tyler, Texas, and our girls were little. Matt was little. Matt was older than the girls for sure. But the girls were maybe, I don't know, two or three. Could have been a little older than that. And I remember that we were doing a little shopping. And, of course, Lori and myself trying to, you know, we were holding on to keeping an eye on the three kids, just as parents would be very cautious and just very concerned about the whereabouts. And then all of a sudden, Lori frantically looks at me and says, I can't find Megan. I can't find Megan. I don't know where she's gone. And I can't let go of Mallory. And so get Matthew. And you know, we've got to find Megan. And we need to tell the store to close down the front doors and not let anybody out the back doors. And so in that moment, we're kind of frantically searching around the clothes. And Lori all of a sudden hears this giggle inside of one of those clothes racks. And Megan has slipped inside of one of those round clothes racks and had kind of hidden herself for that moment. And it was an anxious moment, I'll be honest with you, because, you know, when you can't see your child and you're in a large place and there's many people and you don't know the people around you and all of a sudden your child's just missing, it's a scary moment. So you know, you could understand maybe the situation a little bit with even Mary and Joseph not finding their child and how Jesus had maybe for them just been misplaced among the people that were traveling back to their hometown. I want to talk for just a few minutes off of this little story here about Jesus's life. And I want to look at this conversation that Mary and Joseph and Jesus had when Mary and Joseph finally found Jesus of all places in the temple. Who would have figured he'd be in church, right? Think about that. But let's look at three things for just a minute this evening. Conversations with Jesus, first of all, are meant, number one, to deepen our understanding of God's word. To deepen our understanding or your understanding of God's word. Verses 45 through 47, when they couldn't find him, they went back to Jerusalem to search for him there. 3 days later, it was three whole days before they found Jesus. They finally discovered him. Where in the temple, sitting among the religious leaders? And what was he doing? He was listening to them and asking them questions. And the Bible says in verse 47 that all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. Can I tell you, friends, that God's word still amazes me? Amen. It still amazes me when God speaks. You know, I wish I understood more at times. I wish I had greater. And that happens when you study God's word and you learn God's word. But when you're in a conversation with Jesus, he will what? He will give you insight into his word. You know, we are to pray as we read God's word, or pray before, or even pray, ask God while we're reading God's word, God, give me insight into what you're saying in your holy word. What does this mean to me today? What did it mean there? But what does it mean here and now to me and to my family, to our church? You know, friends, God wants to give you a greater understanding of God's word and of who he is. At the age of 12, Jesus was already starting to sort of fulfill the calling of his father and why he had come to the earth. And he was in, maybe he was listening to the religious leaders and he was gaining maybe some deeper insight into what they were saying there at this time. I mean, because these were religious leaders. It is said that these were intellectual, insightful leaders. They had a deep understanding. And for the common person, it was very impressive to listen to a Jewish rabbi. This would be something, as one writer said, like a middle school student discussing physics with a rocket scientist. Jesus did have a unique advantage, though, because he had a special relationship with the writer of God's word. So he knew things that these rabbis didn't know. And he would ask these questions, and they would give him answers. And maybe they were asking him questions. And at the age of 12, he was giving them answers back. He was deepening their understanding of really the truths of God's word. Friends, God wants to give you a greater understanding. When you talk to him and when he talks to you, he is what? He is just digging you deeper into a mature level of understanding of who he is. Come on, friends, we just need to grow in our love. We need to grow in God's word. Amen. Don't be satisfied where you are. Thank God for what he's taught you, but long and yearn for more of God's word, for more of God's presence, for more of who God is, because he has so much to instill into you. Yeah, Jesus was doing this here at the age of 12. But today, friends, God wants to do that for you and me as well. He wants to deepen our understanding. And so that's why I believe conversations with Jesus are powerful for us. They teach us God's word. They teach us God's plan, God's will, God's purpose. Here's the second thing that I believe conversations with Jesus are meant to do. Not only to deepen our understanding of God's word, but I believe conversations with Jesus are to stir up our desire for Christ's presence. To stir up. Deepen our understanding, but to stir up our desire for Christ's presence. Verse 48 says, his parents didn't know what to think. Son, his mother said to him, why have you done this to us? Your father and I have been frantic searching for you everywhere. The Amplified Version says this way, your father and I have been anxiously looking for you, distressed and tormented. Another understanding for anxious is eager and frantic. They were eager to find their child. And what parent, normal parent, wouldn't be eager to find their child that was lost? Amen. We get Amber Alerts on our phones, and my heart goes out for those that are missing. And for whatever the reason is, I don't know, because I don't have that much insight, but I pray for those kids. I pray for their captors, and whatever's happening, that they would be brought back to safety. Free as our children need our prayers. But our Father longs for us to pray to him too as his children. And God desires for us to what? Stand in his presence. Yes, mom and dad were anxious. They were eager. Amen. Maybe they were tormented and distressed in some form of the word, as we could think it, because they longed to be back into the presence of their little son, Jesus. They longed for Jesus to be with them in their presence too. But more or less, it's really us being in his presence. Oh, I long to be in his presence with his people, singing praises. There's a song that says, I love to stand and rejoice, lift my voice and praise the Lord. You know, there's just something about being in the presence of the Lord in the house of God that's just indescribable. When you come together with God's wonderful people, and you lift up the name of Jesus, and the presence of God fills the room. Come on, friends, that's what God wants to do. He wants to fill this room. He wants to fill your room. He wants to fill your heart, your mind, your life with his presence. You know, friends, we ought to have such an eagerness to be in his presence. We ought to have such a longing, such a passion to run to God. Don't just wait till you have a problem or an issue. Just run to God at all times. Just run to God and say, thank you, Lord. You know, this morning I was just thanking the Lord for this year that God has brought me to, and I was just thanking God for these past so many years, 57 years that I have been alive on this earth, and I was just saying, God, I just want to be found faithful for these next number of years. I want to live and serve you and please you and honor you. If there's anything in my life that is disobedient to you, Lord, reveal that to me. I need your presence. Come on, friends. We need God's presence. May God stir it up again inside of us that we would be so eager to come into his presence and into the house of the Lord. That's what conversations with Jesus, they stir that up in you. The more you talk to him, the more you want to spend time with him. As our secretary and her daughter, they've shared as they spend time with God's Word. After an hour or two, they just want to spend more time in God's Word, just talking about it and just reading it. You know, that's what God's Word does. It draws you into it when you begin to converse with him. Here's the third thing this evening that conversations are meant to do. Not only deepen your understanding, not only stir up your desire for his presence, but third of all, conversations are meant to lead us into the family business. Lead us into the family business. Look at verse 49 and 50. Look what Jesus said to Mary and Joseph. But why did you need to search? He asked. Didn't you know that I must be in my Father's house? But they didn't understand what he meant. You know, I like the way the Amplified Version says verse 49 as well. And he said to them, how is it that you had to look for me? Did you not see and know that it is necessary as a duty for me to be in my Father's house and occupied about my Father's business? Cheryl, good to see you. Frank, good to see you. You see, some translations say Father's house. Some say about my Father's business. But could it be that that's really what he means altogether? That God wants us to what? Come into his Father's house and to be about the Father's business. Can I say that in that day there was nothing more natural than for a son to take up his father's business? You see, Jesus' earthly father, Joseph, was a carpenter, and I believe Jesus did follow in his earthly father's business. I believe he was a carpenter, and you know, he's the master carpenter, but he wasn't just a carpenter according to his earthly father, but he also fathered in the unique relationship of his heavenly father's business. Here's three things that I believe that God wants us to follow in as we follow into his house, as we follow into to our Father's business. And the first one is worship. Psalms 122 and 1 says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Can I just encourage you tonight that God's house is still a beautiful place to come to? Yeah, whether it's in a church setting here in a building, or if it's in a hotel room, or if it's outside in a parking lot, or wherever it is, friends, can I just tell you that God wants to lead us back into his Father's house, a place that we can worship God. Amen. Now, I know you can worship God anywhere, but friends, that's the God's desire for us. Amen. To worship him, to follow in his footsteps. Jesus was a worshiper of God. I mean, that's what he came to reveal to the earth, is that he was a worshiper of his Father, and he knew the Father in a very intimate relationship, a personal way. And you see, that's what worship does for us. Worship's kind of our conversation piece as well. Prayer and worship. When we pray, when we worship, we're having conversations with the Lord. We're talking to him. We're giving him honor and glory. And he speaks back into our lives. And I believe that that's a part of the family business, worship. If you're a part of the family of God, then you should be a worshiper of God. Jesus said, they that worship me shall worship me, what? In spirit and in truth. God's looking for these kind of worshipers, friends, true worshipers, worshipers that worship in spiritual understanding. Come on, friends, that's what the Father desires for us to do, worship him, also to work for him. I don't have these on the screen. These were some last-minute additions, guys. Sorry about that. But to worship him, to work for him, that's a part of the family business Jesus was. He was a worker. He was a worker that was good at what he did. He was a master carpenter, but he was also a master communicator, a conversationist. He was a master at speaking into people's lives. Amen. He was a master at what? Discipleship, at reaching the lost, at healing the sick. He was a good craftsman, a master. You know, friends, we are saved by grace, but God has created us for his workmanship. Amen. That we would what? That we would show forth the works of him who has called us. We talked this past Sunday about dead faith. Faith without works is dead. Amen. Come on, friends. Show me your faith by what you do for the Lord. Show me your faith by a life that is lived out. Amen. By your works. I know works don't save you, but works are the evidence of your salvation. And I'm so thankful today, friends, that God has given us a job to do. Amen. Maybe for some of you, it's not preaching behind a pulpit. It's not teaching a class, but it is praying, and it is discipling, and it is witnessing, and it is sharing your faith with other people. Come on, friends. God is depending on us. He's leading us into his family business. And when you got saved, you became a part of the family business. Amen. And can I tell you, it's a good business. It's a great business. The benefits are out of this world. The health insurance, the retirement plan. Can I tell you that God has so much in store for you that love him and serve him, work for him. You see, not only are we called to worship and to work for him, but we are also called to do what? To follow in his word. And I believe the word of God is a part of the family of business. And when we get into God's word and we dig into God's word and we read God's word and speak God's word, friends, I believe things happen. Bible says that God's word shall go forth and it shall not return back void. Amen. When you speak the word of God, something's going to happen in the atmosphere. Something's going to happen in your situation, friends. God's called us into the business of his word. His word tells us everything we need to know about how to live and how to survive and how to serve and follow him and how to work and worship is found in his word. This is his business, friends. And I want to encourage you to follow the Father's family business. Look how young Jesus handled this conversation with his parents. Let me just try to finish up real quick this evening. Verse 51 says that he returned to Nazareth. Then he returned to Nazareth with them, and he was obedient to them. How did Jesus handle this? As he was missing for 3 days, and when his parents finally found him in the temple teaching, amen, and as they were frantic and, you know, distressed over this situation, eager, and as they questioned him, and Jesus responded, did you not know I'd be about my father's business in my father's house? The Bible says he didn't argue with them. He didn't throw a fit to go back, but the Bible says that he returned with them to Nazareth, and he was obedient to them. You see, friends, I believe God wants us to be obedient followers of his. Amen. Yes, he wants us to depend on him. He wants us to get into his presence. He wants us to be a part of the family of business. But all of that has to do with obedience. You know, the greatest way you can learn obedience is to have a conversation with Jesus. He will teach you. If you have questions about what God is saying or what God requires of you, amen, get into a place of prayer with him and talk to him. And then listen to what he has to say. Sometimes listening is the best component of the whole conversation, is for you just to be still and be quiet and to hear what the Lord is saying to you. But Jesus gives us a great lesson about being obedient to his parents and following them. And his parents raised him up, I believe, in an understanding of the requirements that God had for them as parents to raise up their children in the ways of the Lord. I mean, Jesus went back and he was able to be submissive and obedient because he knew Mary and Joseph were going to teach him the truths of God's word and going to teach him how to live effectively as a Jewish young man, and how to observe God's word, to observe God's, at that time, God's laws as well. So young Jesus handled this conversation with his parents by being obedient. And as a result of this obedience, the Bible says in verse 52 that Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and all the people. You see, the result of Jesus' obedience is that he increased in wisdom. Luke chapter 2, verse 40 says, "And the child grew and waxed strong, his spirit filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him." The grace of God was upon him. He grew in wisdom because he learned the essence and the understanding of obedience. How did he learn obedience? Because I believe even at a young age, he had conversations with his heavenly Father. And as he had those conversations with God, God revealed to him how to be obedient and respectful and discerning to his mom and to his dad. But he increased. You see, when you're obedient with God and you're conversing with God, God will give you wisdom. He'll also give you stature. The Bible says he grew in stature as well, increased. In other words, he grew spiritually, and he definitely grew physically into a man. But he grew up into a man, I believe, like David, after God's own heart. He was, because he was the Son of God, right? But he grew spiritually, physically. He matured. He matured in his growth. He matured in his spiritual growth and his physical growth. Friends, God wants you to grow. Maybe you're all grown up. You're grown-ups. You don't need to grow up physically anymore, but spiritually, God wants to mature you. He wants to grow your faith. He wants to grow your knowledge, your understanding, your experiences with him. He wants to increase this for you. How does this happen? With conversations. Conversations with God, praying to God, seeking God, spending time in his word and in his presence. God will grow you into the man and the woman that he wants you to be and give you the understanding that you need to grow in this stature for him. He grew and increased in wisdom. He grew and increased in stature. And the Bible says he grew and he increased in favor. In other words, he grew in a close personal relationship with his heavenly Father. And he also grew into the human friendships and relationships that God had created for him. That's why he knew those that God had chosen to come along beside him, those 12, even though one would betray him. But all the others, the 70, the lady women that followed him, and all the families that would come along beside him and support his ministry, he grew in favor with them because he had relationships and conversations with his Father, and he knew exactly how to speak into their lives. It is said that the word translated favor is the same word translated grace in the rest of the New Testament. But this was not saving grace, as we see as grace extended to sinners, but this was grace that represented the good pleasure of God that was upon him. This would be the best way to render this text, one writer says, the good pleasure of God that was upon him. You see, friends, when we are spending time in obedience and we're having conversations with him, amen, we grow in wisdom, we grow in maturity and stature, but we also grow in God's favor, in his grace. God wants to extend his grace to you, and maybe somebody is watching tonight that you just need the favor of God on your life. Amen, you just need to grow in wisdom. You need to mature in your relationship with God. Amen, you know you can listen to these teachings all you want to. You can come to every church service you want to. Amen, but until you have conversations with the Lord yourself personally, amen, don't just take my word for it or somebody else's. Have a conversation with the Lord yourself, because God wants to grow you into the person that he has created you to be. So I just want to challenge you tonight, friends. Have those conversations with Jesus. This is probably going to be the last of this series tonight, this conversations with Jesus, as we spent 6 weeks on it so far. But I just want to encourage you tonight, communicate with the Lord. He's always communicating with us. He's always speaking to us. But when he speaks, listen. Listen to what he says. Trust in God's word. Even when you don't understand it, lean not in your own understanding, but in all your ways, what? Acknowledge him. Trust what God says. You know, friends, you can depend on God. If you're going to ask God for an answer, then when he gives you the answer, even if it's not the answer you thought it was going to be, trust God for the answer. Trust in what God says. Be obedient. Depend on him. Amen. Get into his presence. Amen. Just follow in the family's business of worshiping and working and living in God's word, and watch God do wonderful things in your life. Let me pray for you tonight in closing. Father, I thank you for your people. God, thank you for what you've been teaching us in these conversations. Lord, thank you for the relationship that, Lord, you had with your earthly parents, as well as those that you discipled and brought into the kingdom in that time. And even today, Lord, thank you for relationships that you are building between us and you, and for wisdom and maturity and for favor, Lord. We need favor, Lord. Favor with you for sure. Grace, Lord, favor with even man, Lord. We just pray for that, Lord, that you know who we need favor with, even as a church. Favor with our city, Lord. Favor with our leaders. God, favor with our fellowship. Favor with the unbeliever, that they would turn to you and give their hearts to you and become believers, Lord. God, I just pray that people would hear our words, because our words have come from our conversations with you, Lord. They won't be our words, but it will be your words that we are speaking, Lord. So, God, just reveal yourself to us. Lord, work through us and move in us and through us. And we give you praise, Lord. Thank you for your people. Bless your people the rest of this week. Keep them safe, Lord. And I just pray that you would bring us all back together to worship you this coming Sunday, Lord. But in the meantime, Lord, let our faith arise, God, and let our conversations be many with you. And we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, Lord bless you guys for coming. Just be careful what conversations you have with other people. The enemy wants to speak into your life as well. But friends, take time to hear what God is saying, and you'll recognize it, because God's word is truth and life and light. But Lord bless you guys. Thanks for joining with me tonight. All of you that have logged in with us, I hope you have a great week. I hope to see you Sunday morning, 10:30. Please don't forget to set your clocks ahead an hour. Amen, because time does change, and we want you to be there on time. So love you guys. Have a great night.
With all my